Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and we're speaking from Washington, D.C. And again, this is the New Africa Business Association. Tonight, we're going to have a special salute to our veterans. So myself and all the other veterans will be coming on, and hopefully we will just have an open mic as to where we can chat and just talk about anything we really want to talk about. But once a year, just about every year, I enjoy talking with my fellow veterans. And we're on it tonight. We're going to have the American Muslims Veterans Association in Washington, D.C. is going to be our host, and we're going to have our president with us, and our brother Stanley, and the rest of our members, hopefully, will all join us. I will be going and open up the mics here. I'm just trying to give everybody a good chance to come on. But at least let me bring on our president. Brother Stanley, how are you this evening? Can you hear me?
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Brother Stanley, loud and clear, loud and clear. We're glad to hear you. And before we get started, I'm going to just give everybody a chance to come on. So why don't we just go to a little commercial break, and hopefully by then everybody will be ready to go with us. So we'll come right back and open up the show.
Yes, sir.
I'm
welcome back to another edition of the New Africa Business Association. We want to let everybody know that who's trying to call in, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. 657-383-1372. So again, like I said, this is our guest this evening. We are talking with the veterans, and we're honored to have our president of the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., President Stanley. Brother Stanley, again, greetings to you. And any opening statements you like to make, I am going to let you speak at this time.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm simply going to go through an itinerary of my career. I am a vet, as the speaker had stated, and I'll just give you a brief summary of my career when I was active duty. I'm a retired logistics chief, United States Navy. I served aboard, now these are aircraft carriers, I served aboard three of them, the USS John F. Kennedy, the USS Lexington, which was a trainer, the USS Abraham Lincoln, which is a nuclear carrier, and I served aboard the Emory S. Lamb, which was a sub-tender. My shore stations were Fleet Combat Training Center, Dam Neck, Virginia, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Naval Station Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Naval Station Rodman, Panama, and NROTC unit, George Washington University. I'm a graduate from the University of the State of New York in Albany, New York. And that's a summary of my military career. So if anyone has any questions in reference to that, I am a veteran. I'm actively involved in the Veterans Organization. We haven't met as a group, a complete group, due to COVID and other things, but we're working on that, and we'll remedy that here pretty soon. So aside from that, the mic is open for anyone who wants to speak.
Okay, and these mics, as callers call in, we're going to immediately open the mic. So if you can hear us, we can certainly hear you. The only thing that we ask, if you're not ready to speak, to simply keep yourself on mute. And then when you're ready to speak, just take yourself off and join in on the conversation. But we're going to open the mics up to you as you call in. I see we do have our co-hosts that have come in, Brother Aziz. Brother Aziz, we got our president on with us this evening, but greetings to you.
Yes, assalamu alaikum and greetings. And greetings to our president. Also, I was listening to Brother give a list of the places he'd been in the Navy, which is great, great, fantastic. Looking forward to the show tonight. Also, want to let everybody know that as a former Marine, an active duty Marine, today is the Marine Corps' 250-some birthday. So, you know, simplify to everybody out
hoorah,
there, you know.
Hoorah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Hey, listen, we Army guys know what you're talking about.
But
you know, Brother Aziz, ever since we go all the way back to brother, I'm trying to think of his name. I'm sorry, I can't. You know who I'm talking about with on the radio station.
Yes,
brother, better, more better,
more
better,
yeah,
more better man.
Right.
So, and of course, our prayers go out to him, and because he was always good to the veterans. As a matter of fact, more better man was a veteran, and
right,
he was a war
right.
veteran. I think he was a Marine.
Yes.
So again,
yes,
I always feel good during these times. Veterans Day, because veterans, like I said, we and to hear our president and to give his bio, it just makes us all proud, especially for all of our veterans. But myself, yes. and brother Aziz, and of course, we served in the war, so we're war veterans. And the whole thing, brothers, is that when you look back at the sacrifice of African Americans veterans. And I go all the way back to our very beginning before we was a continental state, even before the Continental Army was trying to be built. African Americans were the ones who was giving George Washington and all those time enough because of all those we call them guerrilla operations. But back in those days, the brothers, because they didn't have a large force, working out of Massachusetts and different places, they kept hitting in a small group, giving the Continental Army a chance to grow and to become an army. But like I said, the African Americans have been right there, right from the very beginning. And we have to share this information because, unfortunately, like I said, we salute all the veterans, but the African American somehow, when it comes to being recognized, they have a tendency to forget us, and the bravery and the way that we have acted, the way that we have served this country is not enough to say, because we have gone way beyond service. So again, it's always, it makes me feel good. I guess this might be one of the best holidays that I can really recognize. I know it's the only one I look forward to celebrating. But the reason I look forward to celebrating because we know the sacrifice that African Americans have made, especially those who have to give, who are not alive today. To give the ultimate sacrifice, and I'm not for sure if their families and communities are shown the appreciations of the sacrifice that they really give. So, brothers, thanks so much for being on. I guess what it is, I'm trying to say that I'm proud of all of us. I'm proud of all of you, brothers. I'm proud of being a member of our Veterans Association, because again, love associating with the veterans. So, Brother Stanley, and then to hear the bio of our president, and logistics and all like that. I mean, we know what it is to serve in the Navy. I make no jokes about it. I mean, I'm an Army guy. But I give the Navy, you have to be high tech. There is no room in there for, you need to be high tech. In other words, you need to be somewhat educated to be in the Navy. And to hear this brother and that the bio that he just read to us, we got our right president. And we're glad to have you, Brother Stanley. So again,
thank you very much.
Our mics are open this evening. Our calls are going to be coming in throughout the next 2 hours. We have been told that our brothers and sisters out are doing the out in Oklahoma and Mississippi out on our standard time. We have heard from them, and they said they would be coming on during their regular standard time hours. So they should be coming on. We are on Eastern, what we call daylight savings time is over with, but now it's the Eastern time. We're on it from 7 until 8, and then from 8 till 9, standard time come on. And, of course, that's the our listeners out there in Oklahoma, Mississippi, and the standard time listeners during that time. So they are. They said they would definitely be joining us. But in the meantime, like I said, we don't have any special. Our agenda this evening is speaking with veterans. So if you have any veterans or know of any veterans, it's a good time to get to a telephone and tell any veterans this is a good time to come on, because veterans I think somewhat healed. They heal because they're talking to other veterans, and they're talking to those who know something about what they do. And so again, the call-in number for any veterans who wish to participate with us this evening, that number is 657-383-1372. 657-383-1372. So, Brother Stanley, Brother Aziz, I'm going to get back with either one of you. Like I said to you guys, just join right in and just speak freely. And then as they come on, we'll just open the mics.
Yeah, this is Brother Aziz speaking. And what I wanted to say was, what I did enjoy about the military during the time period I was in, from 1965 to 1970. And when I served in the Marine Corps, I was at Camp Lejeune, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, Okinawa, Sasebo, Japan, DMZ, and Da Nang, Vietnam, and went on a Caribbean cruise. And when I was at Sasebo, Japan, we were the guards for a naval base, Sasebo Naval Base, and had a real good time there. And what I enjoyed about the whole time period when I was in the military was the camaraderie between the African Americans. And no matter what branch of service you were in, we respected one another, and we didn't go for that hoopla saying, you know, the Marines were better than the Navy and so-and-so was better than the Marines or better than the Army. You know, the African-American brothers, we didn't go for that because we were in there for two reasons. One of them was to gain some skills for life, as well as, you know, participating in protecting the rights of all Americans to do, say, whatever they want to do in terms of those so-called freedoms. But my point is, you know, referring to the brothers that's in the military today, now, it's important. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, you're in there to protect America, but at the same time, don't forget where you come from, remember who you are, and respect who you are and people like you, because it means so much when other people respect their own kind. They respect them, and they give them the help that they need when they need help. And we should do the same thing, because this is one of the things that I learned from some gallant brothers back in the day when I was a young man in the military. When I got out, I was still a young man. I was still 22 years old. And I had met some outstanding brothers from all around America that they were true men, and I pray today with the educated military we have today, with so many people in the military having college degrees and African Americans, you know, I pray that they don't forget, you know, to look out for their own peoples, man. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. It shouldn't be a shame to do that. Look out for your own kind. It's just natural to most creatures. To most creatures, it's natural. So, and I look forward again to the Muslim American Veterans Association in Washington, D.C. to be, you know, more active in some things that we were in the past, and be having a relationship with other veterans organizations, and, you know, doing that inner dialogue with other, you know, veteran organizations. We're all veterans. You come to find out, a lot of them will be willing to have events and do things with you, you know, as veterans in that, because when we get right down to the nitty-gritty, we were all there supposedly protecting America, and we'll still do that today if necessary. So it's important that we be a part of and participate in these bigger things as African-American veterans, because we shared a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for America, and America do owe us, as well as all those that have shared their sweat, blood, and tears for America. And we have to not be ashamed to let them know this, because one of the things that we hear a lot of today is that I want to thank you for your service. Well, I want to tell you, I appreciate the thank you for your service, but I'm kind of tired of hearing that. I'm tired of hearing that when I see veterans. I was down at the VA in Washington, D.C. today, and I saw brothers outside the VA asking, did you have any spare change, man, or whatever.
Yeah.
I gave whatever I had to the brothers and that. This is very disturbing that veterans are in those conditions.
Yeah.
You know, and especially African-Americans, man. So we really need to turn towards looking out for one another, being more concerned, because those people, when they're out there like that there, they really, really need somebody to turn to them and talk to them. It may not be money that they need, even though you see them looking raggedy and hungry and all that. They need somebody to really be serious with them. And a lot of times they take the VA counselors and that kind of thing like that. They don't take that treatment as serious treatment. They want to talk to somebody that they feel that's for real with them. And I think the MAVA could serve a good role in that, in dealing with a lot of the veterans that are not quite up to par when it comes to understanding how to help themselves. So, you know, I look forward to that, us working together like that. And I know our president, Brother Stanley, Mark D, is a very hard worker, and that he loves to participate in things like that, you know, seeing us move forward. And not a bunch of shucking and jiving, you know, because it's not a glamorous thing when you see your brothers in that suffering. I'm talking about looking in bad shape. And you have to thank Almighty God that you're not in that shape when you see that. You know, it's like somebody just gave up. And it's a lot of veterans like that just gave up, because when they go to try to get some help from the system, they get turned away. They get rejected because of the way they're handled and treated. And they don't want to come back down to the VA for no help or anything like that. And then there are other groups that come to the VA to get help. And they take them by the hand and walk them through. So, you know, it's good when veterans can get together among one another and talk about these issues similar to the ones I'm talking about now. And because a lot of the African-American veterans, we've had to deal with a tremendous amount of racism in the military as well as with the VA system. And it's something that can't be overlooked. It's something that they know, and it's been made public. But how do we address it? We can't always lean on these so-called upper echelon people in the VA to have a solution to our problems. We together can come up with some solutions for our problem, because all of us, even though we're veterans, we're not in the same mental condition. So when we're not in the same mental condition, that means that we have something to offer one another, no matter what it is. We won't know until we dialogue, work together, and try to overcome problems that the veterans have in particular, and African-American veterans in particular. We have to do that, you know. As they say, you got to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And that's what we need to do, and not a lot of pretty boys. You know, we don't need to be up in front of the high officials doing that. We got to take care of what's first out there. Let's take a bath, wash our own selves up, clean our own selves up. And that's what I mean is organize our unit, where when we go out, every time we do something, it has an impact in the community as well as benefiting one another. So that's some of the things that I just want to start off talking about and not hog up the mic, my brother.
Oh, no, well, like I said, open mic, Brother Stanley, did you want to comment? If not, I'm right here, Brother Stanley.
All right, Brother Aziz, he summarized a lot of the stuff that I was going to say, so I won't repeat it. I agree with him 100%, and even when I was active duty, there was a lot of camaraderie with African-Americans, and let's let me say non-white. There was always that camaraderie, especially on ships. It tends to play out that way. Didn't look for it to be that way, but that's just the way it played out, you know what I mean? It was pretty much like the way I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. You have the Polish area, you have the black area, you have the Italian area, you have the Jewish area. Well, in the Navy on those ships, it's the same. You have the non-whites and the whites. The whites tended to be more or less with themselves, and non-white people of different persuasions tended to be with themselves because we tended to like the same sports, we tended to play the same sports, we tended to like the same music, we almost danced alike. All those things were like, so we had all those things in common, which was a natural draw. It wasn't a racist thing or anything like that. It was just a natural draw, you know what I mean? Because if we were in a compartment somewhere and somebody put on some Hispanic music, you know, black people could pick up the tempo. Yeah, I mean, we may not understand the language they were speaking, but we can show dance to it and pick up that tempo. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We can get that beat down real good.
Yeah.
So it was just a natural draw, and my situation was different from Brother Aziz because I was on ships. We was like, you know, sardines in the can. That's the way it is on those ships. You know what I mean? No matter how big they are. It only contains just so much space, you know, and so you tend to bump into each other on those ships, and that's just how it played out on those ships. But however, I'm glad I went through the experience because I went in the Navy to add to the skills I got in high school, which is probably similar to the same skills you got here in Washington, D.C., and Virginia and Maryland. The only difference was my teacher talked like he was from the Midwest. Your teacher probably talked like he was from the South. But, I mean, the same. They were all teaching the same stuff. We all got the same stuff.
Yeah.
When I came out here scratching my head, you were scratching yours down here. So it was the same thing. But I went in for the skills, to further my skills, to ask you to get the education, a free education, or as much of it as I can covered by the government, and I'll pay the difference, which is what I did. Because I graduated, I was still relatively early in my military career, and I got my degree because on those aircraft carriers, they generally contract with, at that time, there was only a couple of universities, but I just happened to be fortunate. One of the universities that they had contracted with was on aircraft carriers. That's why I primarily sailed on them, because you can get educated on them. They would pay 80%, you would pay 20%, which is real easy for me. So I did what I couldn't do when I was on the outside, and I certainly wasn't going to wait until I finished my career to go to college. So I did all of it, and I was way ahead of schedule, but I took care of the things I went in there for. And when I was in there, I mean, the mixing of cultures and different kind of people, because where I grew up, it was black and white in Pittsburgh. I can't speak for no other city but the one I grew up in. But it was simply black and white in Pittsburgh, I'm just telling you. I had never seen a Spanish-speaking person until I went in the Navy, because at that time, there's plenty of them over there now, but there was not a single one of them in Pittsburgh when I was coming up, unless you ran into one in the university environment, but, you know, you were a doctor or something, you may have run into a Hispanic or others. They just weren't there, you know what I mean? So I got to meet a whole lot of people. I got to really broaden my view, because I had a narrow view when I went in the Navy. It was very narrow, and it was southwestern Pennsylvania. That was my view, you know what I mean? So, and once I went in, because it took me a while. I mean, hey, I first met you when I went into the Navy, and you're from Washington, D.C., I'd have even had reservations with you. You know what I mean? Because that's how narrow I was. I was really that narrow, you know what I mean? So, but anyway, my view is very broad now. I get along essentially with everybody, and it's because I stepped out like a lot of brothers did, and a lot of us step out because that's really the only move you can make after high school, because most of us come from a very depressed background. It's not like we had parents. If you went to your parents and say, look, Mom, I'm going to Harvard University. Can you spot me $15,000? You know, it wasn't going to happen. You know what I mean? So most of us went in somehow to, you know, become vets, to either further our education and get some assistance from the federal government or for those sort of reasons. But I'm glad I went in.
Right.
I'm glad my view is broadened. I got to meet a lot of people. That's why I'm speaking to you brothers on the radio, because I, even through that experience, I got to meet you. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to tell Brother Aziz before I stop, you need to look on that ID card, brother. It says Department of the Navy. Don't say nothing about the Marine Corps.
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to get you straight. I don't want you to think that the Marine Corps is some separate entity. It says Department of the Navy, brother. All right? That's all I have to say.
That's one thing I've always did. I said, you know, the Navy, the Marines got started being put on Navy ships to stop these. They got that Title 11 that.
Well, brothers, before you guys start giving salutes to each other, remember I'm Army.
The army bought on the navy
and the Air Force, all of them came from the Army. So again, we're gonna let you go.
But look how we outshine the Army. Look whose area of responsibility is the largest.
I never said that we didn't start the Navy for a good reason. We started the Air Force for a good reason. We started the Marine Corps for a good reason. Yeah, we started all of them for a very good reason.
I beg your pardon with that, Brother Bilal. The wars that before there was any ground fighting done in America, it was done on the sea. They had to fight on the sea first before they had ground troops.
Yeah, but Brother Aziz, and you, I know you guys try to rank up, but let me correct that real fast. During the colonial days, in our beginning, the only sea fight was the French coming over here fighting for us. America didn't have any boats. So
yes,
again, but we had an army. We had the Continental Army. That's what started it all. But listen, let me say this to those who are coming in, who have joined us, brothers and sisters, all veterans. If you can hear us, we can hear you, because we have opened up all the mics. So you don't have to wait to join in with us. Please, this is a part. This is a big conversation we're going to have for the next 2 hours, and we're going to have veterans, like I said, joining us at 8 o'clock. I was coming in from Mississippi and Oklahoma and out there in the sort of the Midwest or the Eastern Standard Time. They'll be joining us soon, but right now we on our Eastern Time, and so again, if you can hear us, if you've joined us, we welcome you to just jump right in with us, because we ain't doing nothing but having fun and doing what veterans do when they get together, start joking with each other about whose services and what this and what that, and we enjoy every moment of it. So again, brothers and sisters and brothers, we hope we get a lot of our female veterans, because we love to hear from them also. But again, let me just remind anybody, the call-in number, if you wish to call and share it with the veteran, is 657-383-1372. And so again, our mics are open. Our guest this evening is our president of the New Africa, not New Africa, of the boy, it's been so long since we've been on, but this, no, this is the help me out, Mr. President. Go ahead and introduce us again. It's COVID. The American Muslims Business Association in Washington, D.C. And our president, we're honored to have our president here with us this evening, President Stanley. So again, our mics are open, and we welcome your comments, or welcome you to just come on in and hold a conversation with us. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments. All right, Brother Aziz, Brother Stanley, we do have a nice audience on here with us, but we'll continue until our veterans feel like they're ready to join us. So again, let me just say, brothers, if you don't mind, I didn't give too much of a bio on myself. I didn't volunteer for the military. I was drafted in the military. And I didn't enjoy I guess one of the reasons why I'm sort of disappointed about being drafted in the military is the fact that during the time I was drafted in 1966, the state of Delaware, which I came from, was under segregation. And right out of high school, I never learned what it was to be a young adult. Coming out of high school at the age of 17 and then in August turning 18, and in October they had me in the military. And right after special training, right off to Vietnam. So again, I didn't know what it was like to be a young adult, let's say, and do what young adults do when they leave mom's house, let's say, that you turn 17 or 18 and you're leaving home. My leaving home was directly into the jungles at such a young age, like most of us did. And so, but I can say when I got drafted, I was, like everybody else, I was trained for jungle warfare. But during that time I was in Vietnam, I was called out of formation one day, and I used to drive the water truck when I was in Vietnam. My job was to make certain that all the companies had water, that the combat companies are spread it out. So you have to drive through different dangerous places to get to your combat companies, and that water truck looks like an oil tank, so it looks like you're driving gas rather than water. And I'm saying, but the way we anyway, to make a long story short, that's what they started me out. That was my MOS in the beginning when I first got there. But I was called out of formation one day, and I was called out by a chaplain. And the chaplain called me out. I wasn't called out of formation. A company commander called me and asked me to detail. I was detailed to the chaplain to be his driver. And after driving for the chaplain for a day or two, the chaplain, after a couple of days, asked me if I could read and write. And I had had 1 year of college before they drafted me, and certainly I could read and write. And so he told me, Bynum, if you would take this notebook, I have a whole lot of he was a colonel, light colonel, and he told me that take the notebook and go into these here a conference and just sit there and take all the notes you can for me, and because I have such a busy schedule. And, of course, I mean, going into these conferences, I mean, it's like being in college. You know, you just, the teacher is instructing you, and you're writing down notes. I mean, who couldn't do that if you could read and write pretty good? But anyway, when I got back and was giving the chaplain his reports, he was pretty impressed with my writing skills. And so the chaplain called me, went to the company commander and said, look, can I have this guy for a little while? And the company commander said, give detail with him for a month. So within that month's time, and the chaplain told me, said, Bynum, look, I'd like for you to be my chaplain's assistant. I'd like for you to be a chaplain's assistant. Now, brothers and sisters, you brothers who, and all who are on the phone realize there is no such thing as an African-American being a chaplain's assistant, especially back in those days. But anyway, the chaplain was so impressed with me, and he took me to MACV headquarters up there where Westmoreland was at, and up there were all the generals. And he took me up there and had my MOS changed to 93M10. 93M10, see, that's a pretty high MOS. Administrative chaplain's assistant. I came out, I was an E4. E4, they made me an E5 right after I got my MOS. And I served with, to make a long story short, I served with Chaplain Leakey, and he's a Catholic priest. Chaplain Leakey is the one who got the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I served with him and Colonel Curtis the whole time I was in Vietnam. So again, I didn't, even though I was drafted, I never wanted to be in the military. But and the reason I didn't want to be in the military is because of the racism. I mean, I you know, like I said, I came up in segregated Delaware, and now I'm into and I mean, I don't know how many fights I got into in the military because of race fights. So but anyway, to close it out, yeah, Chaplain Leakey, the Congressional Medal of Honor, and when it was time for me to, my service was time for me to ETS, the colonel took me to career officer, and the career officer, they made a proposal for me. They wanted me to become the first chaplain in the military. But I only had 30 days before I would ETS. And after serving in that war, because you know I got 100% because of mortar attacks and stuff like that, the wounds and stuff. So, but anyway, when they took me to career officer, and the career officer, they made this proposal to me that they was going to send me to a theology school up in Fort Hamilton, New York, I had the credits that I had already in college. I would keep, and in other words, about 2 to 3 years, I would become a captain. And all I had to do, and they give me a nice big fat bonus if I would sign these papers, and that obligation would be for 6 years. And like I said, I had 30 days left in the military. I totally, and both of them was colonels. The career officer was colonels, and of course the chaplain I worked for was colonel. I told them, I looked at both of them, I said, with all due respect, sir, in order for me to sign these papers you guys are putting here in front of me, and it's a nice proposal, but I said, in order for me to sign it, you would have to do the same thing with me that you guys did with George Armstrong Custard. Make me a brigadier general, and I'll be more than happy to sign those papers, because brigadier generals do not serve in combat. Any rank below a better brigadier general, I'm not signing, because 6 years from now, I could be right back in combat, and I knew I was finished with combat. So again, just to say, I ended my career in the military as a chaplain's assistant, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Yes, go right ahead. I'm telling you, jump right in, brothers and sisters. This is for we all. This is our discussion. Jump in, please. Yes, go right ahead. We welcome your comments. All right, I thought I had them going there for a minute, Brother Stanley. I'm going to go back to you. We're going to have them warmed up here in a few moments. Brother Stanley or Brother Razee, we're going to go right back to you. But I just want to share my bios with my experience in the military, because I didn't in the opening statements. And anybody else who is a veteran, let us hear from you. We want to know who you are. We want to talk to the veterans. And I know you're on here because I can see the place is lit up. So welcome to the New Africa Business Association, and we welcome your comments.
This is Brother Aziz again. I'd like to tell you about a little part of my first beginnings in the Marine Corps. When I got out of infantry training and all that, my first duty station was Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And when I got there, they signed me to the 2nd Anti-Tank Battalion. And I was wondering, why was I going over to 2nd Anti-Tank Battalion? Well, that battalion was going on a Mediterranean med cruise to deal with other militaries of other countries. So they had to leave people down behind to guard the tanks that they left behind and all that equipment, which was out in the woods. And it was just a skeleton crew they left on. And they assigned me to that stuff. I'm out in the woods and that. And, of course, they got these recon all around trying to come in and trying to catch somebody asleep or off guard. It's part of their recon thing, badass. So I'm on post, and they tell me I'm on a night post, and I can hear all these funny noises out in the woods and that. And I said, you know what? And I didn't have no way of getting out of there. And the one thing that got me was, here I am walking post with an M14. And I didn't have not one damn bullet. Not one bullet. And I'm saying, so I took this is a true story. I took my bag, and I heard all that noise. I'm from down south in Alabama. I was raised up spooky around all these stories of this and that, man, headless people, cat man and cat woman, half man, half dog, all that kind of crap. So I thought, you know, that it's, like I said, it's dark out there. Just that area where I was lit up, and you had to walk around that damn area, man. And then, you know, and I put my bayonet on my right. I talked out loud. I said, I'm gonna tell y'all now. I may not have no bullets, but if anybody run up on me and try to jump me, be prepared. You gonna get hurt. You gonna, cause I'm not playing. And brother, you know, I didn't get bothered with, but some other guys I knew got jumped, you know. And what it was, these guys, man, sneak up, mute, you won't know where they were. They might jump off the top of a tank or jump or be hiding up on a piece of artillery or something like that, you know. And I thought about that later on. I said, man, you know, these are the type of things guys go through in the military, man. People just don't know unless you're in there. You'll be put in some of the most precarious situations you could ever think of. It's almost like, if somebody was to ask me now, how did you lead a combat patrol up? Because you had a plastic map, and you had a compass, and you had to go to a certain grid coordinate site. And to this day, all I can say was Almighty God was with me, bro. I don't even know how to do it. It was almost like going through a LSD trip or something. It just wasn't real, you know. You see people that was eating rats, things like that, you know. You just see situations in the military that help you grow as a person, you know, because I would say most Americans, when you see these people in these conditions where you go in various countries, whether it's a war zone or regular going to a regular base. Our military bases are always in areas where there's impoverished people, you know, as well as well-to-do. But, you know, we kind of hanging out in the bar areas and that as a young young man in the military with the rest of the guys going to these different foreign countries, you get to see how people live so different, and they have so much less than you, but they do more with the little bit that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and when they go to school over in countries like Japan and Korea, the kids go to school 5.5 days a week. That's all the time. They only get 1 month off from school in the summertime. You know, it's like, I'm telling you, man, I come from a place called Fairhope, Alabama. The population probably has grown a little bit now because it used to be all farms. And most of the people that left there that were African Americans, they either went north, like Chicago or Detroit, or they joined the military. My father was a military joiner. I know he joined the military to get away from that because there wasn't no opportunity. You didn't have opportunity to do anything but work out in some field somewhere, picking cotton, potatoes, or whatever, you know, real nowhere. So a lot of the older heads, that's what they did. They joined the military to better their life. And I can speak up for a lot of the brothers from down south. That's why we joined the military, to better our life, to see the world, to see how people live differently. That is the benefit that a lot of us got out of the military. Like Brother Standing was saying, you know, the black and white and, you know, and the perspective, that was that, you know, and you could have been black coming from somewhere else, but the way you talked or whatever, you know, and I understand what he was saying there, because of course down south is absolutely black and white, you know, no other way, but I mean, even to the worst, because our school systems were where you got books that were used by the white schools and that. So you knew they were secondhand. They wasn't the modern stuff, but we had good teachers. But again, one of the things was, man, when I get old enough, I'm going to join the military and go see the world. You know, in my family, most of my family members were Navy and Air Force, which was Army. My dad was Army, and when the Army became Air Force, it went from the Army Air Corps to the Air Force. He went over with the Air Force guys. But all of my relatives that I knew and others from the area I came in, my brother-in-law, he was a Green Beret. He come out of high school and went to the Army and the Airborne. A lot of those guys were in the Airborne. Run around with their jump boots. They'd have a regular nice suit on, and they'd have jump boots on, and their boots would be bloused, you know. And brothers got a lot of pride and self-pride from being in that uniform and going through that training and being something, but yet still you wasn't a total American. You didn't have all the privileges all the other Americans had. And that's something that, you know, has changed a lot over the years. And the fight is still there, you know, for us to fight for equality. But there has been a major change from the way it used to be. When we went down to Quantico, Virginia for that dedication of the masjid down in Quantico.
Yeah,
I remember we saw two star black generals. I said, man, I don't believe it.
And I told you the army that had major generals. We've been having major generals forever. And you was bragging on me. I said, man, we got 4-star generals now. I remember that day.
I remember
the general spoke to us.
Right. So I said, man, I got to say something to this because this is like, I don't believe it. And we talked to him. The guy, the generals told us, said, thank you, you know, said, for the shoulders. We said, you guys, we got some tall shoulders to stand on. We thank you for what y'all did because we wouldn't have been generals today if y'all hadn't put in. And I tell you, it was a fight all the way in terms of getting promoted and all that and getting the respect you of, you know, because the brothers, we didn't have no dumb brothers in that, but the general told us, say, yeah, there's a couple of us around. He say, yeah, but in Bilal, you remember, he say, but the Marine Corps ain't changed a whole lot now.
Yeah, no, I remember.
And the white generals at that dedication, they didn't speak to no one. They sat there like they were damn robots. And when it was over with up, they got off and left. It was like, almost like they were ordered to come there. And that's all you got to do, go there and sit down. I didn't see them communicating with nobody. And I said, yeah, that's the Marine Corps I know of. The one I remember when I got out.
Yep. Brothers and sisters, yeah. Our mics are open. Everyone who is on the station right now, if you can hear us, we can hear you because we have the mics open to everyone who has called in. So if you have any comments, we welcome your comments. I do want to ask, though, do we have anybody in there from our standard time, anybody, Director Stone or anyone out there in Oklahoma? We have any of our guests from that area with us yet? Yeah. Okay. I guess we don't have anybody from the Director Stone, Miss Williams, Director Williams from Oklahoma, from Texas, or any of the standard time areas. Are any of you with us, or any of the veterans from that area with us? All right. Well, again, anyone who is listening in with us, you can come in and join in with us anytime you feel like it. We welcome your comments. All right, Brother Stanley, in the meantime, I guess then now that we've, our other veterans share in, we can start talking about maybe some logistics that we need to be talking about, or some of the things that you, because I know we haven't had a chance to really talk with each other since this pandemic. This is the first time we as veterans have spoken, I guess, in almost 2 years. So, I guess it's a matter of, the question is, where do we go from here? I know I have some ideas, but I think we like to start off with that.
I'm sorry, Ella Bilal. This is Director Stone. I'm here. I had my phone on mute, and I was just talking. I do apologize for that.
No,
I thought you could hear me.
No, ma'am. I hear you loud and clear now. Yes, she's from out of the Texas area. And so any comments, sister, that you like to make? Again, we're speaking to the veterans. And we welcome your comments.
Yes, I would like to applaud you guys. I've been on for a minute, and I've listened to some of the stories. One of my passions for building veteran housing is because I've had quite a few family members that served in the military. Some have issues because of serving. So I just wanted to jump on tonight to applaud all of you for your great service. And I pray that one day, this country can really, really give back to our service men and women for the services that they put in bringing us this far. One of the things that I can truly say that other nations have a respect for the United States for is our military.
Yes.
They have great respect. Enemies have great respect for the United States because of our military. And our African-American brothers, even though many don't get the credit that they should, they gave their service their all in all, putting their heart into serving this country. So I just want to thank you guys. Appreciate everything and all that you've done in the past. Just wanted to commend you for it. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you. Director Stone, just before you go, though, because like you said, you are building veteran affordable homes for veterans, and there's much that you guys don't really know about Director Stone as myself and Aziz know. But please share just some of the information on what you're doing as far as building veterans' homes. And I know you are trying to, you have a lot of land and you're dedicating that to having opportunities and homes for veterans. So if you would share some of that information with us.
Yes, we... And, of course, because of COVID-19 and different financing, some of the things have, just kind of been put on hold. How many know delayed does not mean denied? Okay.
Yeah.
We haven't been denied. We've simply been delayed, and it's only for a season, okay? We're hopefully after the Christmas holidays, we will get back to it, have a couple of builders along with, Brother Paul Miller and Beverly Williams. We have a connection with Williams Construction now, so as soon as all of the plans have been and permits have been approved, we can begin to move forward, hopefully after the first of the year. But these will be container houses, designed as container houses, 1 and 2 bedrooms for the vets. Also, we're looking to do a computer literacy program, and that's going to be targeted towards inmates being released from prison, called the IRR program, and that inmate reentry recovery program. But we have the place and the space in a rural area. We have just been blessed with the land free and clear to get this done. And we've been moving solidly and secretly and getting some of the things done, because in announcing it, we've had some obstacles, roadblocks, name it. We have encountered it. And a lot of it has to do with us being African Americans and women. But my husband and I stand together, stand together strongly. He does the foundation part and helping to oversee the buildings done. And we look forward to coming on and announcing groundbreaking service and putting you and Brother IZ on the plane to come out here to Texas. And we're going to serve you guys some nice, fresh catfish, okay?
That'd be fantastic.
We have some crappies. Those are, and some people call them white perch. We call them crappies. Best eating fish in the
place.
My goodness.
We're familiar with crappies.
Director Stone, before you go, I want to introduce you to our veterans president here in Washington, D.C., Brother Stanley. You're going to find this is a wonderful lady to know.
Hard
working. About the housing program that she's putting together for veterans. But Brother Stanley, direct the stones. I'll let you do your own greetings.
Well, Brother Stanley, I'm looking forward. I'm, like I said, I'm just getting on tonight, and I'm looking forward to what you have to share. We are working diligently to partner even with the Salvation Army. I had a young lady to call me, and we're looking to do a meet and greet possibly the second week of December. We're going to sit down and talk about some plans to kind of strategize some things with the Salvation Army. She works, too, you know, real closely with a lot of the vets. So we're looking to take this from city to city, from state to state. Madam Speaker, Ms. Joyce Williams, Sister Rahima Rahim, we're all looking to link up together and do some work for the community, create jobs, you know, for a lot of our people. It's kind of hard now with all of this government assistance out here to get people to go to work. These young folks do not want to work, and I don't know where that's coming from, but it's hard to get them focused and working. They want that fast, quick money, and that's not always, that's not the way, beloved. That is not the way. Hard work.
That's right.
You better, you feel better, knowing that you're not looking over your shoulders or no one's going to come and kick your door in. But some of these young folks, you cannot, it's kind of hard to reach them. So we're looking to those that can and won't to come to work to create a salary that is really competitive to a lot of our other peers in the area. We want to make their salary so good, and that would be anywhere from $18 to $24 an hour, so that they can, you know, provide for their family.
Absolutely.
So that's some of the things we're visiting with the women's team, with the women's team.
Yes. Sister, that's great. And if we can help you in any way here, just let me know. I'm a worker. I'm not a strategist or anything like that. I've been a worker all my life. I got that from my father. I'm just a worker. And if you need any assistance from us in this area, just let me know, and I'll assist you any way I can. And also let you know, my family came up from Texas. They came up from the Waco-Fort Worth area to Pennsylvania.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, yes. I'm not far from there, maybe about 2-3 hours from Waco.
Yeah, I got a lot of family there, and in Oklahoma. I've never seen any of them, but they're there, Oklahoma and Texas.
Okay. I'll keep that. I would definitely keep that in mind.
And the reason I'm telling you that is so when you start cooking the catfish, throw another one in there for me. I'll be there.
We're going to bring it with us.
that's a good way for me to do an intro. I've never been there, would love to come. So when you, matter of fact, if you just tell me you need somebody to help prepare the catfish, just tell me a day before you tell these two brothers, I'll be there.
I can verify that. Brother Stanley is a very good cook. Brother Stanley, he's a very good cook, and he enjoys it. So
wonderful. I tell you what, I welcome you into a kitchen, brother, because I love to, I do. And we do a lot of family events entertainment here at my home. Uh-huh. But I know my way around in the kitchen, and I always say, if Walmart has it, I have it.
Director Stone, I had a question to ask you. And that is, you know I'm in love with that container architecture. So I surely want to see that. Because remember when I asked you, I said, the one other thing, I say, you know, there's a site that I go to a lot of time called Pinterest. And I say, uh-huh. And I saw these container homes and structures there. And I say, man, I was like awed by them. And the picture that you sent me before, that looked like an office building. I mean, it was like, wow. And then the outside of it, and I said, man, this is going to be the future, really, in a lot of places that people are going to be surprised. And you may see it in some big cities happening.
Right. Well, Miss Beverly, she moved here from North Carolina. Her name is Beverly Williams. She drove up just fairly near into the Houston area, and one of the guys told her about our property, and it's a piece of acreage, about 4 acres, that we have near the Polanski prison over in Livingston, Texas. So she drove up to see the lake and to meet with us. And I tell you, when she gets those designs together, Brother IZ, I'm gonna send them over to you, because I asked her if she was familiar with Washington and if she worked. Did any work in that area, and she told me that she had. And but maybe next Wednesday, if we don't have a conference call lined up, because we've been having some conference calls with a venture that we're involved in, a business deal that we're involved in, I'm gonna have her come on and talk. Guys, okay. Sister, and we connected, and it was just like we've been knowing each other all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Really good.
Excellent. Good. Very good.
That would be good. Yes.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, brothers and sisters,
we thank you for that.
Yeah, by all means, Director Stones, and like I said, you've been with us now for about 3 years, and ever since then, we've been going uphill. So we appreciate their participation. Again, brothers and sisters, our mics are open. We, like I said, if you can hear us, we're glad to hear from you. The mics are open, so you can speak, and we welcome your comments. In the meantime, though, any veterans that you may want to call and ask them to join us, we still got about a half an hour or so. Our number is 657-383-1372. 657-383-1372. And that'll put you live on the station. This is the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
And we certainly welcome you to the station again. Our guest this evening is the president of the Muslim Veterans Association right here in Washington, D.C. Brother Stanley, if you don't mind, I'd like to share some information
about our association and what one can expect as far as the values of our association. The New Africa Business Association, we incorporated, we've been incorporated for quite some time now, but when we incorporated, we did it with the anticipation of becoming a liaison and being the voice of Muslims all over the country, and act, like I said, and being a voice for Muslims all over the country as to where we can give our voice, and especially federal legislation, but any legislators who can help with the advancement of opportunities and benefits for Muslims, for veterans, and as to where veterans in this country can enjoy and realize the pursuit of liberty, happiness, and the pursuit liberty, justice, and the pursuit of their own happiness. That's what we went into. That's our patriotism. That's what we fought for. And that's what we are constantly, as an association, is constantly trying to do, is make certain that, and here in Washington, D.C., because we're close to the powers that be, we can act as a voice. And that allows on activities, we can even act as lobbyists on the behalf of not only Washingtonians, but of veterans all over this country. And I can tell you right now, many parts, and I've been in the Deep South, and especially down there in Alabama, but not only Alabama, right there in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been down there as to where veterans could not get the information that we're privileged to here in this area. When it comes right. to applying for benefits, they don't, I know there's no such thing as they don't have representatives. They don't have representatives that have their best, the African Americans' best interest in mind. I've been down, I remember once being in my brother-in-law's barbershop down in Alabama, and while I was in the shop there, just being with him, his patrons would come in, and I'll never forget this one guy. He was a Marine, and he came in. He was missing a leg, and I think he was missing an eye, and this happened to him in the war. And I asked the guy, I said, how is Uncle Sam treating you? And he told me he was getting 10%.
Really?
10%, 10%. And I figured this is something he had just applied for. I said, well, what, you just applied for benefits? He said, no, I've been getting this 10% ever since I came home. The military, and I said, well, why haven't you advanced? He said, well, I've been waiting on the Veterans Administration or the military to get in touch with him. And see, this is the condition of our African-American brothers, especially those who are not privileged to the type of information we are here in the Washington area, the northern areas, because down there, that information is suppressed from them. Because the representatives of 9 times out of 10 are not African-American veteran representatives. And because they're not African-American veterans representatives, ask yourself, how many Caucasian veterans reps are going to go into the ghetto and start talking about benefits for African-Americans in the ghetto? They're scared to go there. So again, and I saw this a couple times, even though it's true in northern parts, up in Delaware, you can see a lot of veterans who are, their percentages are quite low. And they've been through some serious combat.
And but like I said, you ask them, well, why aren't you getting better benefits? Most of them just don't know how to apply. And when it comes to appealing and putting in your claims and knowing how to appeal your claims, they just don't know anything about situations like that. So that's why our veterans associations are so important. And here at the Muslims Veterans Association here in Washington, D.C., and brother, our president, I'm going to turn it back to you in just a second. But this is why our role, we feel, is so important, because we know that we have to play not only a local role for the DMV, but being in Washington, D.C., we feel as though it's our obligation to also play a national role and get information to our veterans all over the country. So we ask that if you know veterans out there, please tell these veterans to call our associations. And because, again, we might be able to help out. We might be able to stimulate things in their communities, because again, we can the Capitol building and the lawmakers are no more than 15 or 20 minutes from us. So again, if we have to go down there with our signs and raise our flags and protest, something can be done as to where Africa, because we do know that when it comes to benefits, we are totally, most of us are not receiving the benefits that we should be receiving. Now, the ones of us who live up here and know, we're getting good benefits. But we know our brothers and sisters down in many areas do not get the benefits that we're getting, simply because there is no one there to put in claims for them and to appeal claims when they may be refused, or there may have to be some kind of legal explanations in order to advance your claims. So again, we, Brother Stanley, I'm going to turn it back over to you, but we ask that we're here. We'll be more than happy to support, and we look forward to their memberships. So again, Brother Stanley, I'm going to turn it over to you, but that's the mission. That's just a small mission of what the Muslim Business Association here in Washington, D.C., and like I said, we know we're a local association, but we know we can also help with as a national association. So and Brother Stanley, I'm going to turn it over to you from here. And you can comment further on our missions and our objectives.
Okay. This is the first time I've actually been, no, this is my second time actually participating in these talks here via the radio. But I became the commander of a local post here. It's called MAVA, Muslim American Veterans Association. And the only reason I took on that position was to do the very things the brother who spoke prior to me stated. I personally, not only here, I've gone many places, and you ask questions and people ask you questions, and you sit there, well, me anyway, you kind of scratch your head and say, well, you should at least have known that and this sort of thing. But I was making assumptions that I shouldn't have been making, because what Brother Bynum said earlier, they don't know, they don't even know where to go to know. So my primary mission for accepting the position that I have with MARVA, post one here in the DMV, was to find all these publications, find the electronic versions of all these publications, and most of the questions that a lot of brothers asked me, I primarily did a query to find out where this information primarily resided, and I saved all this stuff electronically. So whenever we met prior to COVID, you know, I would, in our meetings, I would state to all the brothers who attended that I had this information, And if you needed this information, here's my contact information. Just let me know, and I can send it to you electronically. You don't have to worry about paper and all that sort of stuff. If you have a computer. Now, a lot of people don't have computers. Now, that's another issue, but I was never requested to mail anything to anybody, but I would have been perfectly willing to do that. But I have a lot of this stuff, a whole lot of it saved electronically. Organizations to go to, federal organizations to go to in reference to this, that, or the other. I have all this stuff electronically. So whenever any questions came up at these meetings, I would simply advise the brother or sister who was asking me, yes, I have this information. Just give me your email address. I'll send it to you electronically. You read it. You know what I mean? If you have any problem, if you understand it, fine, then you go forward from there. I'll help you go forward. But if you have any problems with the language, let me know, and we'll work through it. You know what I mean? I'm not a scholar, and some of that language is so legalese, you don't really understand it, but we can fight through it. You know what I mean? Just get with me, and we'll look at the language the way they have it stated, find out what it actually means in layman's terms, and then we'll proceed from there. So that was my approach to everything. So Brother Bynum is essentially speaking to my whole feelings on being a veteran representative at all, and that is to make people aware of any problems that, well, they're aware of the problems, but where to go to fix the problem or make the attempt to fix the problem. And so that's why I am now. I still have a lot of that information, and due to COVID and some other internal things going on up here in the DMV that we have to, and we are going to work these things out pretty soon, real soon. And once we work those things out and we're on a solid footing, I'll put this information out to anybody who needs it, and we can go on from there, because right now we've been stymied for a little over a year now, which I really don't feel good about, but I'm more interested in us being on a solid base. Then once we're on a solid base and everybody understand the marching orders, everybody, there's no differences, you know what I mean, and what's stated or what's captured in whatever legal documents we're dealing with. Once everybody's on the same footing with that, then we can move on. So once we resolve that issue, a whole lot of this stuff that Brother Bynum is speaking about, I have it electronically, and I'm more than willing to provide it to anybody, more than willing to sit down and deal with any kind of language that's there that maybe I don't understand or you don't understand, but both of us together or us as a group, we can understand it, you know what I mean? Because you can read a sentence sometimes, and it's just one word. It's written in Latin. It's English, but it's some Latin word, and you're like, okay. But until you get the meaning of that one little word, you can't even understand the sentence. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of sort of stuff I'm talking about. A lot of federal government stuff or state or, you know, local stuff that's written, you run into that legalese. So you'll read a whole sentence and understand everything, but it'd be that one word, and that one word is the key to whatever they're trying to, you know what I mean? So if you don't get that one word, somehow you can't. You know, you're confused and you don't really know what to do, you know what I mean? So to avoid all that, I'll help you with it. You can help me with it. But anyway, if you have a problem with trying to proceed forward, we'll resolve that issue internally with language, and then we'll move forward. But there again, like Brother Bynum said, matter of fact, he said everything I would say, but he just said that. But that's my primary mission, because once you give the people the knowledge or a veteran the knowledge to proceed and you help him proceed, then, I mean, the whole world wakes up for him, you know what I mean? And then he, him, or her, and they start to feel good about themselves. And then when they start getting results from any research or action they took, then they feel even better. Then they start feeling, okay, this stuff is finally working for me. You know what I mean? I'm finally seeing the results of something. You know what I mean? And thank God this brother that I don't know, he was a bit like me. He helped me get started. Now I understand it more than I did before. So that's essentially all I have to say. And I'm that's my whole thing right there. I'm really, really very eager to help anyone with language, this language that they have when you're trying to expedite something to get some kind of benefit that relates to you or some injury you have or some, you know, it could be behavioral issue or some medical issue, any kind of, you know, anything like that. I'm really more than willing to help you to assemble any kind of package to submit to anyone. You know, I'm more than willing to do that. Matter of fact, that's my primary mission in being a veteran and helping other veterans. That's my primary motive. I'm not the other stuff. I'm not concerned with titles and all that kind of stuff. That stuff means nothing to me. That's just it's icing on the cake. But that's all it is. It's just icing. You know what I mean? I'm not really into all that stuff. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, you find in the icing is a lot of sugar. You know what I mean? And it's the sugar that causes you the problem. So I'd rather just take the plain cake, the pound cake, opposed to that cake with all the sugar on it, because that sugar misleads you. I'm what is the word I'm saying? I can't think of the word, but I'm trying to use sugar as something. You know what I mean? I'm not really talking about sugar. I'm talking about something else, a metaphor. Sugar is the metaphor. You know what I mean? But that's essentially all I have to say. And like Brother Bynum said, look, I'm in it to win it. I'm all about the language. You know what I mean? You're not going to fool me much. If I get a chance to read it, I can get with you. Now, if I don't read it, that's another issue. But if I read it, then you got a serious person to deal with. We can, you know, we have to talk business then once I read it and understand it. But if I don't read it, you only get me momentarily, because if I feel like I go to bat for you and somehow I miss something, I'll make a polite exit and go back and do my homework again and understand what it is I should have understood the first time, and then I'll be back and then we'll deal with it. So with that said, I'll just pass it over to any other brother who wants to speak, and thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the privilege. Again, our mics are open. Anyone who have any comments, we welcome your comments. Our mics are open. All right, in that case, looks like we may have ran out of our conversations, or we're getting a little tired. I know it's getting a little late in the evening. Director Stone, any comments you wish to leave us with before we do some marching music? And then I think we might, if we think we just about finish our conversation, we don't just have to stay on here for no unvaluable reason. Let's put it that way. So any comments, Director Stone, or anyone else wish to make? If not, I'm going to give us a little
bit. I have a quick question. Yes, sir, I do have a question.
Yes.
Do you have something for the homeless veterans? I have been receiving phone calls from a young lady out in Virginia, and she called me with some concerns about vets that are homeless on the street. Do you guys have any housing in place, or do you know anyone in that area that may be able to assist veterans that are homeless?
Sister, this is Brother Stanley Monty. Look, I'll give you my email address if you put something in the email in the narrative and state what it is you're actually looking for. Let me do some research, and I'll send it back to you. I'll send it all electronically.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Okay.
Do you have a pen?
Yes.
And
I'm
a piece
ready.
Of paper.
Yes, sir.
You ready? Okay. My first name is Stanley, S-T-A-N-L-E-Y. My last name is Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. But when you do my email, it's just one word: Stanley Mahdi at Comcast, comcast.net. Just give
all
me
right,
a little. You can do. Give me a little summary of what it is she's actually looking for, and that sort of stuff. And just let me get on. I'll get on my computer and I'll look around and find some stuff. And I'll get you everything that's pertinent in this area. And I'll send it back to you, and then you can possibly convene another conversation with that sister and pass the information on. Hopefully I can find something that will assist you and her, okay?
Okay, that sounds like a plan. I'll get on that.
All right, just,
be expecting to receive my email possibly by Friday, no later than Saturday.
Sister, look, you do it at your time, you know what I mean? Because I'll get on the key. We all have lives, that's what I'm trying to say. Once I get your email and time avails itself to me, or I'll make it avail itself to me because I have a wife and, you know what I mean, happy wife, happy life. So I'll work if I can work around those issues. I'll give you everything you need. Everything I can find, I'll send to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
All right. And thank you very much.
And Dr. Sloan's and everybody else that's listening, everyone can be somewhat optimistic about what is coming in the future. Like I said, the pandemic slowed us down. Many of the programs that we were planning and was hoping to implement, we couldn't. And so being that we haven't had activity for the last over a year or so, we are just behind. But now that we're back together and we're back into planning, we will, in other words, like I was saying, Director Sony, to everyone else, being that we are here in Washington, in the Washington metropolitan area, we are privileged to a lot of information. We're privileged to go to some powerful folks who can help the Veterans Association. They're the ones who make the laws and can put in the budget for veterans. So our activities are getting ready to really get back into focus now that we are somewhat behind this pandemic. So hopefully in about a few more months or a year from now, the Veterans Association, you will see that we're doing some wonderful things. But in the meantime, we do ask that you stay with our association. You got our president's email, and have veterans to get in touch and to send emails to our president. That way, he will be able to delegate to many of us who are not even on the phone tonight, but we do know that we have their participation, and all of them are experts in their own field. So by all means, stay in touch with our association, because we're expecting to help out way beyond Washington, D.C. So again, our brothers and sisters, again, we're moving right along. The mics are open. Anyone who have any comments, we welcome your comments.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, of course, with that said, we don't have any more comments at this point. Brother Aziz, I'm going to let you make the last comment. Then we're going to give us some marching music. We will march out of here with our marching music. You have any comments before we go to our marching music?
I'd just like to thank Brother Stanley and Director Stone for their participation, and as well as sharing some valuable information, and I look forward to, you know, both of them again. And Brother Stanley, Director Stone is a real good sister to know, man. She's a real shaker and mover. So don't let this be the
brother,
last time, you know.
No, brother, I was listening to her. Tell her she already got one. I'm there, man.
I hear you. I care.
Thank you, man. Absolutely. Thank you, man.
And that's all I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. women.